Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This hour on 670 The Score is brought to you by the Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Welcome to Yankee Stadium and the 79th Major League Baseball All-Star Game. From the Chicago Cubs, Ryan Dempster. And now Ryan Dempster, who's a second-time All-Star. And Drew takes strike three, and we are going into the 10th. How about Ryan Dempster coming out of the bullpen and striking out the side in the ninth?
It's been a common theme for Alex Rodriguez here at Fenway Park and is sure to continue in all visiting ballparks the rest of the season as he hears a whole lot of booing. Dempster hit him on a 3-0 pitch. Joe Girardi livid. Ryan Dempster did not get tossed out of the game.
Game one of the World Series. Ryan Dempster takes over on the mound after Tozawa got the final out in the end. A guy who used to pitch at the back end of the bullpen for the Cubs. Red Sox win game one.
The 2013 Red Sox are the world champions and Boston Strong.
Kevin Millar and Ryan Dempster they're insane. They have matching tattoos.
Oh, no.
What? I did not know this.
I know. I just revealed, like, a big secret, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for it. But
there's something really special about this recognition. I love the city of Chicago, the Chicago Blackhawks, my teammates, the fans, my friends, and most of all, my family.
You talked about all the stars that have come to Chicago to celebrate with Chris Chelios, John McEnroe, Eddie Vedder, Cindy Crawford.
Ryan Dempster in a Speedo, in high heel shoes.
We're back live at Harry Carey's Tavern at Navy Pier with more of the 26th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey. Brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you on 670 The Score in Odyssey Sports Station.
Always one of the highlights of any show, but certainly this event, is when we get to talk to our buddy Ryan Dempster. What up, Demp?
Oh, man. Those were Cindy Crawford's high heels that I was wearing in that. No, they weren't. But, yeah, you know, no, good to see you guys. You. Always great to be with you. What a day.
Cindy Crawford, great tambourine player.
Yeah, and unbelievable with the hockey stick.
Dude, she made
that was insane.
Yeah.
She shot
that's how magical of a night that was, the fact that she's making half-ice shots, you know.
It's about time something goes well for a supermodel, you know?
Yeah, thank you, Champaign, Illinois, for that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That was a crazy night, though. You had fun?
Yeah, that was a really good night. Obviously, celebrating our great friend Chris Chelios, but it was pretty star-studded and a good chance to sing with my guy Speaks and the amazing band, by the way. The Hot Stove Cool Music Band just absolutely crushed.
So cool.
So much fun. And
can't believe I didn't go to the after party, dude.
Yeah, it was pretty.
I mean,
yeah, it was pretty epic.
Like it's Kid Rock, Chelios, Vedder, Gretzky.
Yeah.
You know. And who
Dempster.
Else? Brett Hull, Ty Domi.
Yeah, one after another.
Ryan Dempster.
I made Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook. It was a really good time. I thought I left late, but I guess I left early because I talked to Chelly the next day, and he said, "Yeah, I went upstairs about 5:15 in the morning." So, yeah, that's what time I got up to come down here for the media this morning. About that time.
Yeah, you're dedicated to carrying on the.
I love Harry Carey, man, quite evidently.
I know.
It just, you know, it was such an era. Harry was such an era of the true connection between fans and their team and a broadcaster who really was one of them. You know, he lived, breathed, sleeped the team he was calling for when that was in St. Louis. Then he goes to Oakland, the White Sox, then Chicago, he, you know, comes to the North Side and finds this amazing home. of legendary status, and you know, his ability to go out and drink with the fans and connect with the fans and say hi to, you know, Bill and Kathy. You have a hardware store out in, you know, Downers Grove. Whatever it was, he was always connecting with them, and I think that's what drew you in. I remember as a little kid watching it up in Canada, watching WGN, and so the fact that Grant and everybody here at Harry Carey's and all the celebrities that come in and make that effort to just continue keeping his legacy alive, I think it's important, it's vital, and it's warranted for him. He's a legend.
See, that's the thing. Demp comes by, you come by the Harry Carey thing, honestly, from watching him as a kid, and he made it seem like the ballpark was a crazy and fun place to be, right?
Yeah, well, and like, there was this, you know, nowadays, and I'm, you know, not, well, when I played, or when I listened, you know, but there's a lot of advertising going on, right, throughout a game. You have a lot of different things where you got to do, you got to get your fills in, you got to do that. Back then, that happened.
Boog's pretty good at it, though.
Yeah, unbelievable. Boog's great, and there's a lot of really great broadcasters. But Harry would take the time to not even care about the game going on, in a sense, you know, because there was something more important. Like, you know, like, you could have a birthday, you know, he could just be like, you know, there's one away here of the top half of the fourth inning, and Cubs are up 3-2. Special happy birthday to Matt Spiegel. It's his 42nd birthday. It's beautiful. Ground ball over to short. Fielded by Dunston on to first, what, two away. Hey, you know, Matt grew up a little boy loving the game of baseball, and he just had this way of really doing that, like, you were like, oh, wait, there's a game going on a second. This the ultimate storyteller.
The least accurate part of that impression was that Spiegs is 42.
Yeah.
So, other than that,
I was giving him a lot of credit.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Other than that, you nailed it.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I got to say, in that open that Tanny put together is the A-Rod thing. Yeah. And I know we talked about it the other day on Hit and Run, but I also know that my partner does not listen to Hit and Run.
Yeah.
No,
so,
I don't.
Yeah, I know.
Is it a good show?
Dude, this story, can you please tell him what you did with your 5-day suspension? Because the Red Sox, that happens in August of 2013. They go on to win the title because Ryan Dempster hit A-Rod. Like, that's why it happened.
It was really interesting. You know, I didn't honestly think, because I never got thrown out of the game. Nothing. I didn't think I was going to be reprimanded.
Yeah.
So that was on Sunday Night Baseball. Well, after the game, we fly to San Francisco, and we go all the way across the coast. I go to the field on Monday. I get a workout in. We play the game. And then the next day, I come in and throw a bullpen, and they're like, hey, John Farrell wants to talk to you. And our manager. And I walk to the manager's office, and he's like, hey, dude, I got some bad news. And I was like, what's up? And he goes, you've been suspended for 5 games. And my first, I swear to God, I said, I just got suspended for hitting the suspended guy?
Yeah.
Like, how does this work?
Amazing.
This isn't fair. It's like a double negative. It should cancel each other out. Like, this doesn't count.
Historically, it does cancel
each other
out.
Yeah. So I just thought, you know, when you play in a place like Boston and you have a lot of, you know, it's the biggest talk in town, there has to be a story. And I thought, well, the rules are that I can only be in there and work out, and I have to get out of the stadium or out of the team facilities, you know, team-issued facilities, clubhouse, weight room, all that stuff. So I just said to John Farrell, when am I going to pitch? And he said, we're going to keep everybody on their spot. You'll just go an extra 5 days. And I was like, oh, well, I'm just going to leave. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to throw a bullpen today.
Uh-huh.
I'll play catch down in California, and I'll see you on Sunday at Dodger Stadium.
So you're in San Fran. All you have to do is be at Dodger Stadium in 5 days.
So I went to this little bar in San Francisco with my now wife, she's my girlfriend at the time, and her cousin and his wife. And we shot hoops and had pitchers of beer and watched the Cubs play the Giants.
Hell yeah.
Next day, got up, drove to Big Sur, California, to the Big Sur campground, watched the second game, and then I got up the next day and drove down, saw some sea lions, massive sea lions, by the way.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
Great.
They're huge out there, like just south of Santa Barbara, I guess it would be. And then went to Malibu, and Chelly, I was going to stay at Chelly's house.
It's
and,
big enough.
And he said, turns out he had one up the street that was bigger.
Oh, I mean, he said, you can't only have one house in Malibu.
No, it was like a four-house. There was four different, you know, abodes on this
him.
Property.
Yeah.
Like, I think Pablo Escobar maybe built it.
Yeah, that's right.
And so a friend of ours was not staying there. He's back in Chicago. And we had the best paid 5-day vacation. I want to find somebody who's had a better suspension.
You should have got suspended every year.
And Dennis Rodman would go to Vegas in between and do some stuff, and I don't think he topped this.
Yeah, that was really good.
You were surfing? Really,
you surfed with Laird Hamilton, did some paddle boarding.
Sure.
Played some bocce ball with him and Gabby and myself and Chris. And
just
Kelly.
Waiting for the guy, and then I played 36 at Pebble Beach.
Yeah, went to dinner with Cusack at some Mexican restaurant.
Sure.
Yeah, it was great. And then showed up, went to Dodger Stadium, threw my bullpen on Sunday. Glendon Rush picked me up and went to the Arroyo Chop House, had two bottles of wine, went back to the stadium and watch Brandon Lee give up a 480-foot home run to Mike Napoli. I was sitting next to Bob Tewksbury. I think I threw my beer up in the air. I was pretty happy.
What?
So I won that suspension.
Dude!
Yes. Yeah, you did.
You won that suspension.
And the check is, I guess, lost in transit. Never got cashed.
The fine never
got cashed.
Unreal.
I guess you have to go. They're telling us that you have to go do
TV. It's time.
You have to go do TV.
Okay. Okay. We need to steal me for a second. Okay.
Okay. I don't know. We're live on the radio. Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah. Are we going live on TV?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
How long? Like 7 minutes? We'll be right there. I'll come right there.
Is TV more important than... Oh, wait. It is, actually. Yeah. Go ahead. See you, back.
Good to see you, Sam.
I always appreciate you guys always supporting this amazing thing that Grant does, too.
Absolutely.
Thank you, guys. And always love being with you.
Hey, brother. You too. You look good in a cow suit.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm missing udders on this one. I guess I would be a male. I don't know.
They're implied. Your udders are implied. Yeah.
I got nipples. Can you milk me?
I was just going to say it. See you, buddy. That's Ryan Dempster. It's not even national TV. It's go do local TV.
Get the hell out of here. Danny, we're on local radio.
Yeah, I know. But
we're not comparing.
We outrate Channel 5 News. Okay?
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, really?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
I love when you get competitive against other media entities.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Channel 2 is here as well.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah.
Probably outrate both of them combined. Going, lady was going to have an aneurysm. We had to get Ryan Dempster over live.
How about that, man? How about that?
That's a good suspension.
That's a really good suspension. And he hit that preening $3 bill, Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
That's really. Had he talked to A-Rod about it since?
I don't know.
Okay. So that would have been my follow-up if you didn't have to go do local TV.
All right. Well, you want me to?
It's fine. I'll get over it.
You'll get over Macho Grande.
The vibes of Jason Alexander are gone. I'll get him back.
Yeah. Wait, the vibes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you'll get him back.
Is there a positive vibe?
I think there is, Tanny.
Yeah. I mean, we're on extra time, by the way. I'm sure there's some people going like, where is the post Parkinson Spiegel show?
Yeah, where's anybody else?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're
sorry
here until,
you still have us.
We're here until 7 o'clock. With Budweiser
mm-hmm.
in hand. And I know Richard Roper's going to come by in a little bit.
Richard's an interesting dude. Is he still doing the thing where he's like working with the task force to stop the crime in the world? I don't know if he's still doing that thing. He probably is.
I don't know. Can we talk to him about movies?
Absolutely.
All right, cool.
100%.
Yeah, great. That would be awesome.
Oh, wait, that wasn't him.
Yeah, I didn't think
that was Ro Khan.
Yeah.
They used to work together.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
Forget about that.
I just want to talk movies.
Yeah, you know.
All right, it's fine.
What's Gary Meyer doing these
Stop.
I just want to talk about whatever these radio guys are doing
now. Whatever their new careers are.
I want to see my future, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Mancow.
What's Mancow doing? I mean, is he doing a one-hour sports show in Indiana? Is that what he's doing?
I don't know.
Oh, no.
At this point.
That's what somebody else is doing.
I don't know.
Yeah. But here
fine.
We are.
That guy kind of looks like Jason Alexander.
Which guy?
The guy in the red jacket right there.
Oh, yeah. Is it? Is it him?
It's not him.
No, it's not him.
It's not
or else Tanny would leave his post
right now
and come running down.
He absolutely should.
I want to see the montage of Tanny sprinting from the stadium or from the radio station.
More of a station.
More of a station.
than a stadium.
Did I mention we're still on the air?
We are.
Great show.
It's a show. It's a show.
I think it is a great show. How dare you?
Do you guys just like you need a reboot because it's 6 o'clock? Like, are you guys not allowed to function with microphones because it's the 6 o'clock hour?
I'm usually halfway home, Tanny. I'm like, I got my helmet on. I'm looking for a divvy bike by now. My body doesn't know what the hell to do with itself.
Yeah,
radio? Is that
just,
what you suggest?
I'm just angry. I'm just,
and Danny's just angry about a wide variety
of
issues.
I'm just rebelling. Is all that's happening here. No, because I wanted to run your theory past Ryan Dempster.
Which theory?
I thought he would be the perfect person to talk to about pushing pitchers too long.
Oh, yes, it would be.
Starter, reliever, pitched for a long time.
Yes.
So, like, could he have done it early in his career versus late in his career, early in a season, late in a season?
Oh.
I thought I wanted
to talk real baseball.
I was about to transition because I was thinking about what you said.
Instead, I made him retell a story.
No. I thought we had him for 20 minutes.
So did I.
So I was going to, after the story, that was my
plan. Danny, you can't get in the way of local TV.
That's why I'm angry.
But
the idea, I was thinking about what you said. And for anyone who didn't listen to the show yesterday, you were saying that you had your gripe with Council.
My main gripe with Craig Council has developed, and that is I don't think he pushes the starters quite long enough. And this is really, especially after he said he was going to do exactly that after Kyle Hendricks got hurt. Because what it ends up doing is exposing a bullpen, which clearly is not equipped the way that it needs to be in the way that modern baseball is utilized. Now, I know he's hamstrung by not having guys who can go long the way that he had planned to.
Some of those guys are in the rotation.
Yeah, exactly. But my main gripe is with Tyone and Assad. And Assad the other night at 78 pitches through five innings. Why are we not going longer? And Tyone has had moments where that guy is indefatigable. His stuff remains the same. And I know there is this organizational thought process that the third time through, the hitters have figured you out.
Well, that's a league-wide thought process.
I know, but sometimes you get pitchers who have a deep enough variety of stuff.
Yeah, sure.
That they ought to be given a chance to get somebody the third time. And Tyone and Assad are both guys who throw a bunch of different pitches, and they're winning with sequencing. They're winning with command. And those guys especially should be pushed for the benefit of the whole pitching staff.
Well, so we have Council on next week, right? We get him every other week. So we'll talk to him about it next week. And there's a zillion storylines with the team, and you know, someone was like, Parkins, you're just defending your guy Council. I'm honestly just trying, when you present something like that to me, like I don't know what you're going to say before you say it.
Yeah,
I was trying to present a devil's advocate point of just two main things. One, it seems consistent enough that it's not just him, that it's like an organizational, they didn't ask Carter about it today, but I'd be interested. I would be surprised if Jed disagreed with when Craig is pulling these pitchers. I would personally be surprised, given how consistent it has been. Not saying it's impossible, but...
Let's grant that. But still, the only guy who can flaunt that is the manager. The only guy
sure,
who can
so it
push
means he,
against
it,
that.
It means he agrees with it.
Yeah, it means he agrees with it, or he's... I don't know exactly what it means, and we should find out. But Craig, as we've talked about, is on a higher level than just about every manager in baseball in terms of being thought of as a partner with the front office.
Definitely.
And so he doesn't need to kowtow to anything. So
I'm not even suggesting
I'm going to go ahead and put those kind of decisions on him as opposed to the organization for the most part this year, because he's setting the template for some of those, if not just going along with it.
That's totally fair. That's totally fair. I guess I just mean it is a partnership. It seems to be consistent enough that it would really surprise me if other smart baseball people in that organization weren't on the same page with it.
Yeah.
I don't get the sense that he's just overriding them, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, but it could very well be that my issue is with the entire state of baseball.
That's my theory. And then the other part of it is the specific guys that we're talking about, and I know you centered in on Assad and Tyone.
I did.
Like, they just don't have – I mean, obviously Tyone's a vet coming back from injury, but a vet who has looked good. Assad doesn't have a large body of work in terms of big league innings under his belt, in terms of these guys in general. I mean, I had it in front of me the other day. He's got like 170 career big league innings or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a small number, and I just wonder what – Craig, we'll put it on Craig, believes is possible for maxing out of these pitchers in terms of how many guys are at this rate projected to go above their career high in innings.
Sure.
And like the marathon v the sprint,
but here's
aspect of the season.
And this is, I understand. Well, here's why it's my issue with larger baseball as well. Over the past several years, you know, most organizations have gotten more and more afraid more and more careful in terms of pushing guys, whether it's pitch counts or inning counts, and babying guys and worrying about that. And how's that going? It's not going well.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe that there is a disconnect, and it's with certain kind of arms and certain kind of pitchers. I mean, I've talked to lots of people in front offices before who've said, you know, you either have it or you don't. You're either your arm can handle it or your arm cannot. And that it's very individualized that way, which is interesting. And I don't know if that's the case, but I do know that there are some dudes who can do it. And you have to figure out who those dudes are. And if you're lucky enough to have a couple of those in your rotation, you better find out if they can and teach them how to do it. Imagine the teaching tool that you could have with Javier Assad after he goes to the lineup the third time and you're like, hey, so this worked, this didn't work. What can we learn from it? Then the next time he can do it.
Yeah.
You know, and so I want it to change all across the league, but this is the team we're dissecting.
No, absolutely. And I think it's more reasonable of an ask with Tyone than Assad, personally, because of the number of big league innings logged in his career.
I don't know, but this is what's interesting. It'd be great to have an off the record conversation with some of these people about it. We know that two strike anxiety is a thing for hitters. It's got to be like pitching, managing a pitching staff anxiety has to be a thing of like, I don't want to push him. Oh, God, I can't lose him too. You know, like, oh, my God, all these injuries that are going on. And you may find yourself extra careful. I'd love to get people off the record talking about the human realities of that.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought you were even going to say from the pitcher standpoint of what happens when they're like, oh, it's about to be that third time through the order, so I know that I'm going to get pulled, and what does that do, if anything?
It's all there. They're all humans. Every single one of them.
God, I think that's true.
The best thing about talking to Richard Roper is that we don't have to talk about Rokon's task force.
That's amazing.
We don't even have to bring it up.
I wasn't planning to.
I thought about it.
I know.
I wanted to know what he thought about it.
For some reason, you are so interested.
Yeah, I'm just really interested in it. But it's not his lane. You know what I mean?
It isn't. It's not appropriate.
No, let's stay away from that.
You should be appropriate today.
Wait, look, there's Ro.
No.
We won't do it. We won't do it. Okay. Even if we get him too, we won't do it.
All right, good.
All right.
We're not going to do that.
Okay.
Richard Roper is, I think, going to join us. Yes, coming up. All right.
There's no way to know.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. We're going to keep
Tanny, we're back on track, though, right? This sounds like a normal show now.
The last 7 minutes were very good. I will be having Budweiser. We are here with Budweiser. It is Parkinson Spiegel at Harry Carey's by Navy Pier on the Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Everybody, we are live.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Strange twists and turns with the guys over there on the Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Afternoons on the Score.
We're having a little fun.
Hey, all right, Richard Roper.
Uh-huh.
Michael Phillips is a
Yep. I like Gene Siskel. Whatever. Give me something good, Lloyd.
First draft of my letter to one Richard E. Roper, reviewing him personally. His clothes, his hair, his nasally Midwestern twang. Screw Chicago.
Attention, everyone, please. Listen up. No one mentioned Richard Roper again. Not today, not ever. The next person to mention Richard Roper will be fired. And Lloyd, you will also be fired if you don't answer.
We're back live at Harry Carey's Tavern at Navy Pier with more of the 26th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry Carey. Brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you on 670 The Score in Odyssey Sports Station.
We will not be cursing at Richard Roper. He's kind enough to join us. What's
up, man? Iconic entourage shout out, though.
Can I give you guys a little quick behind-the-scenes story about that? They sent me the script. Jeremy Piven, of course, does that monologue. I actually rewrote it so he'd be meaner to me because they were a little afraid. So I'm like, no, if you're going to take me on, take me on. So
you gave him a note.
I still get the residual checks. And as you guys know, those could be huge. Yeah. I had 28 cents the other day.
So 28 cents. Good
I've
for you.
I got that going for me.
Tips on you tonight. Yeah. How many credits do you have?
You know, well, you know, it's interesting because it's all I've done. I did like 100 different talk shows, you know, obviously The Tonight Show and things like that. And I've played myself in a few things. But it's mostly from the talk show, so it's very interesting. It'd be like I was on The Tonight Show, and it now played on a cruise ship that's moored in some dock because it's stuck, and people had to watch something, and then I'll get a residual from that.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Have you ever been animated? I'm trying to think of the critic. Was that before you? Was that Gene and Roger?
That's a great question. Roger and Gene, they did that. I wasn't animated, but The Simpsons did make fun of me, which was a huge, great moment.
That's incredible. Yeah, that's
Homer amazing. Made fun of me, but they didn't actually do an animated. Mad Magazine animated me, which is also very cool. You know, the same guy, the guy that did all those illustrations through the years. And again, they were making fun of me, but I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, just humor me as the old guy here, that, like, your interactions with Gene and Roger.
Yeah.
And how that comes to take place, that you end up on that show. It's unbelievable.
Well, it was interesting. As you guys probably know, your listeners know, Gene Siskel was a huge Bulls fan. So I was actually a little bit closer to Gene than Roger. And then Gene passed away. And Roger was going through all these auditions with different co-hosts. You know, it was sort of an audition that I didn't know was an audition. So it sort of just happened organically. And then one day I got offered the job, kind of out of the blue. Because that wasn't what I started off to be. I wanted to be you guys when I grew up.
Did you really?
Yeah, variation.
So what sports? Yeah. What sports talkers did you listen to, or what radio talkers?
Oh, I listened to everybody. Just, you know, I mean, I grew up listening to the legends here in Chicago, and I was a huge radio geek, guys. You know, I grew up in Dalton, South Suburbs. So, and I'm older than you guys. So I was listening to Bob Surratt, Larry Lujack, you know, the WLS, WCFL. Yep. You know, all of that stuff, even more than the talk show host. More like, you know, the jocks, if you will. The super jocks.
Sure.
John Records Landecker and such.
Record is his middle name. And Amy Landecker, his daughter, is a wonderful actress.
Yes, she is.
She's been on tons of great stuff.
Didn't Tarantino just say that he's not doing the film critic?
I talked to him about that. He wasn't going to cast me. He wanted to make it about a female critic. So, yeah, he was going to do a film called The Movie Critic, and he was going to tie it into the Tarantino universe.
Oh, no.
It was going to be set... you know, maybe 20 or 30 years ago. And
all right, hold on.
He wasn't feeling it.
Richard, I mean, if I look at Tarantino's recent history, there's Nazi revenge.
Yeah.
There's slavery revenge. Movie critic revenge might not be something you want to be a part of.
This is true. So maybe it's better that he decides. You know, and he's done this a couple of times where he's decided to back off. I think he's going to do one more film, but I'm hearing more rumors that it's, again, going to be somewhere between the Pulp Fiction universe and the Reservoir Dogs universe. You know, you'll see references in those movies to Alabama and to Vince Vega, you know, different characters who were cousins and something. I think he might do something more of a prequel.
You can't be Mr. Black. Mr. Black is another guy on another job.
You think he's going to do a prequel to Reservoir Dogs?
I think it might be right around that era.
Wow.
I think one of the things a lot of filmmakers, the Coen brothers, Scorsese, Tarantino, they like about going back to the 80s and 90s is that you can't solve everything with texting and technology and computers. It, you know, it's great when you look at No Country for Old Men and you have to get to a payphone or films like that. And there's a reason why they go back to that era. It opens up more dramatic possibilities.
That's fascinating. Because, yeah, and he's also seems to be adamant on the 10 movies thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know, man. You set that rule for yourself. How long ago?
Yeah, and if
you could do 11
that's
movies.
That's a great point because he's still only like, what, 60 years old?
Yeah.
And Tarantino's such a huge fan of directors like Spielberg and Scorsese who continue to make great films
he says
into their
that they,
80s.
But
so
he says
why not
that they age poorly, and I'm like, I feel like right now it's the except that, no, I think his premise is wrong.
I think he's absolutely wrong. And listen, Steven Soderbergh retired from making films after the Ocean's movies. I think he's made 17 movies since he's retired.
Yeah.
He's had more comebacks than Sinatra.
Unbelievable.
All right, quick Coen brothers movie draft right here. Three of us and Chris Tannehill, who knows them well. You can go first. Number one in the Coen brothers movie draft from Richard Roper.
No Country for Old Men.
All right, go ahead.
I mean, I know you guys don't like it as much as I do, but I will take the Big Lebowski.
All right. Tanny, what's your first pick?
Oh, man, love Fargo.
I mean, Fargo's a great, great pick. I'm going to have to go with Blood Simple because it made a big effect on me.
Yeah, and that was the one that set the tone.
Yep.
So that's a great Mount Rushmore right there.
All right, we'll stop there.
Yeah, I think we should, really. Fargo, I would have. I mean, it's really 1A, 1B.
We really didn't get a comedy in there. Well, I guess we did.
The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, we did.
No Country for Old Men's hilarious. Yeah. Anton Chigurh has the greatest one-liners of all. Are you kidding me?
Serious man is hilarious.
Yeah, it's so funny. You know what I heard the other day? That Javier Bardem is playing the Menendez brothers' father in a...
Oh, gosh. The record executive.
Yes. So it's Javier Bardem.
They can
Bardem.
Have the same haircut from No Country.
That's why I thought of it. So it's Javier Bardem and Chloe Sevigny as the Menendez parents.
Speaks, do you play yourself?
I should. I should. I played tennis with those guys in 6th and 7th grade, the Menendez brothers.
Wow.
Yeah, they were scary.
You know, I think that's what actually started them on the spiral. You said it was out. They knew it was in.
Right.
That's the origin
Rackets
story.
Were thrown.
Uh-huh.
And then all hell broke loose.
It's on me. My bad.
We're talking to Richard Roper here, Parkinson Spiegel on the score. Have you seen Jerry's Pop-Tart movie?
I have. How do I put this?
Oh, no.
My review is coming out tomorrow. I would say this. It's in focus, and it's in color.
Oh, no.
And
Oh, no.
Yeah, we'll just leave it at that. I've seen a lot. I've seen, guys, I've reviewed probably 12,000 movies. I've seen at least that many. This is one of them.
Oh, that is so painful.
That
reminds me of when the White Sox made a trade like a decade ago, and we had Kevin Goldstein on for Baseball Perspectives at the time, and he said, and we asked about the prospects, and he said, well, they're carbon-based life forms.
Okay. Well, which is more than we
that's
can say
so
about the
sad.
Current edition, but that's a whole other.
That's a whole other story. I know you're a Sox fan, but that's so sad. The Pop-Tart movie is absolutely loaded with incredible cameos, a passion project. It
you
should
know,
be good.
To go back to what we were talking about. Roger Ebert used to say, "It takes truly talented people to make something memorably bad, not just mediocre, not just run of the mill, but like, oh my God, clear the room, call time of death bad."
What? So, what's the worst movie you've ever seen?
You know, it's hard. You know, that I get asked that, and it's like, you know, when they're bad, they're just bad. So, and I try to forget those. I mean, there's a lot of movies that fall into that kind of one-star category. But there's not one where I just say, oh, my God. I think I will say this. When it comes to giving the most negative reviews, to me, it's like movies that put children in peril, movies that, you know, have violence for violence's sake. They used to call it torture porn. Those are the most offensive to me because they're using that for entertainment. So to me, that's way worse than just a comedy that falls
flat. That's a crime. That's a movie that's an actual crime.
Yeah, and there have been some like that.
All right, so what is a movie that is universally held in very high esteem that you're like, that? It's overrated? Like, you know what I mean? It's not what everybody says it is for a reason.
I get in a lot of trouble when I revisit this, but I was not the biggest fan of the Lord of the Rings franchise.
Oh, interesting.
Very well made, but by the ninth hour of going through Mordor with Frodo and Gollum and the ring and the elves and the little things and the big, it's just not my genre. And so to me, I mean, listen, the last one won Oscars, and they're really, really well done, but it's never a movie I'd ever want to see again. Hey, let's queue up Return of the King one more time.
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it.
All right, let's talk about stuff you do like.
Yeah.
Have you done that list? Do you have a pantheon, a top five or a top 10?
My top, you know, guys, it's easy because it's a lot of the ones everybody loves, but there's a reason why The Godfather is the most beloved movie. There's also a thing where I call what I call repeatability. There's a lot of great films that you don't need necessarily to watch more than once. Schindler's List is amazing, but it's heart-wrenching.
I didn't laugh once watching that.
But it's like, you know, but something like Shawshank, which is also very serious, but it has that repeatability factor.
Absolutely.
So it's the inspirational films. It's, you know, the Rocky films. But to me, those are the films that I'll go back time and again to. And really, like, the great heist movies. Heat.
Yes.
The Town. I think Ben Affleck's The Town is maybe top 10 21st century movies of any genre. Perfectly done.
Yeah. You mentioned the Soderbergh movies. I think Ocean's 11 is just gorgeous.
Perfectly done. When you go back and look at that, what he did with Ocean's 11. The other ones were pretty good, but that first
Ocean's
one,
it's immaculate, isn't it?
The editing, the casting, the style of it. It was aped in a million different things. Soderbergh's amazing.
There's right out here at Harry Carey's, Dr. Venkman's Ghostbusters
yes.
suit is here. Yeah. So let me ask you this. I go to see the new Ghostbusters about a month and a half ago with my son and his friend and his dad, and we absolutely freaking loved it. Was I just high on the emotions of the experience, or was it actually good?
No, I agree. What I liked about this latest, and there's been all these different iterations and reboots and everything.
Right.
This one was a love letter to the original.
Yes.
With all the callbacks and the theme music. And I thought they did a great job of that. They kind of embraced the spirit. Here's the original firehouse. Let's go back to that. Let's bring back not just, you know, Murray and Aykroyd, but Annie Potts. And even some other, you know, small people haven't seen it, but like, you know, everybody from the that's still pretty much around.
Absolutely.
From the original movie.
It's kind of like how Top Gun sort of paid homage to itself.
And I thought, you know, Top Gun Maverick, I was like, why are you doing this? The first one, Ford Simon, and they did the same thing. They go, we're basically going to remake the movie.
Yep.
If you look, Top Gun Maverick, the first 4 minutes are a shot-by-shot recreation of the first one. That's their way of telling you, we're not here to try to reinvent the wheel. We're here. It's almost like the best cover band in the world.
Yeah.
I loved it.
So did I.
Yeah. Top Gun Maverick, I loved it.
So did I. I wasn't expecting to love it.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. No,
I loved it.
So it's interesting. All these different remakes or reboots, and there's a way to do it.
There is a way to do it.
So obviously we didn't know we were going to have you on, but this movie just popped into my head. Obviously there's a lot been made about how you can't make good comedies anymore and all that stuff. It's better now in TV, and even that's being criticized and all that. This is the End. Did you like This is the
End? Yes.
Okay, I think that movie is brilliant.
There's a lot of great comedy out there. Yeah, we've had a lot of talk, even, you know, Seinfeld saying the wolf laughed. First of all, I don't know how Jerry can say that. He was on Curb Your Enthusiasm, so it's
a great
comedy. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. But yes. There's still a lot of good comedies out there. Comedy has always been harder to do than drama, I think. Even for, you know, actors talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
But even something like The Idea of You, which is coming out with Anne Hathaway, it's really well. It's Notting Hill. Talk about a remake. It's basically a gender reversal on Notting Hill, but it's like sometimes you just want to watch one of those comfort viewing. You know exactly what's going to happen every step of the way. It's all about the characters.
Okay. I like it. Anything that's come that we haven't seen that's new that we should check out?
The Mad Max movie that's coming out, Furiosa, I know is going to be a big hit. The Fall Guy opens this weekend, and that's another example. It's like, okay, Fall Guy was not the greatest TV series of all time.
No.
Let's just say. You know, it was 1980s kind of kitsch.
I liked it for gawking at people reasons.
Yeah.
The promotion of the movie is getting me,
though.
Well,
first of all, Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, that's a great point, because they know how to promote a movie. You could tell they love doing the movie. You could tell sometimes stars are promoting these films and they're going through the motions. They're doing a brilliant job of promoting it. It's the most ridiculous storyline of all time, but you have these two major movie stars having the time of their lives. It's the cliche of a popcorn movie. That's what this is.
Does Richard Roper, the big White Sox fan, want to review John Schriffen?
You know, listen, it's not easy. I get that. is someone who, as you guys know, you know, I've been around forever. I remember when they were 56 and 106, like in 1970. But at least we had Bill Melton. Or Wilbur Wood would go 24 and 20. So, at least, you know, like, okay, he's pitching every game. I think you can't force these things, you know, with the catchphrases. I think engaging with Sox fans, I think it'd be better to just do the work and kind of keep your head down. I wish them all the best. I'm watching games and thinking, Southside, sit down. Maybe we'll see what happens. So I'm not, I just don't feel like Harry Carey, I don't know when he was an announcer for the Cardinals 60 years ago, was saying holy cow in the second month of his game. That's what I
think. Yeah, well, there's that level, and there's I lost it earlier in the show. He broke me because there's been a lot of little baseball things, like not knowing exactly what a sacrifice fly is or calling the manager the head coach, things like that. Yesterday, pronouncing it as Bill Veeck, that broke me. Because he owned the team you worked for twice. One of the most, top five most important non-players in the history of Chicago baseball is what? Wrigley, Comiskey, Reinsdorf, Veeck. I mean, you don't get out of the top five.
It kind of broke me, too. It'd be if I were telling you guys Francis Coppola is a great director.
Yes.
Just be like, and again, no offense, but come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Give a crap.
All right.
All right, well, that happened. Richard, well, this was fun as hell. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
You guys are the best. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very kind. That's Richard Roper. We will wrap this thing up as we are here until 7 o'clock celebrating Harry Carey, the 26th toast to Harry Carey. It's brought to you by Budweiser. We're Parkinson Spiegel. This is The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
The legend Bill Curtis. Bill. A tremendous honor for you to be on the Parkinson Spiegel Show on The Score.
I'd want to be nowhere else but here.
Afternoons on The Score.
Look at the lady with the big glasses.
It's funny, I was talking, Danny, today to a friend of mine, the friend that I went and saw Ghostbusters with, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And he said, have fun at the toast. I hope a buzzed Bill Curtis shows up and talks with you. No Bill Curtis today.
No.
But I did send him a screen cap of my one text interaction with Bill Curtis where he said, let's talk, maybe when something gets cooking with Soldier Field. BK. He signed off with BK.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
But that's it. I've never followed up. It's been a year. You think he's wondering where I am?
I don't. Although, especially, it'd be funny, though, if he was. Because, like, he's like, a lot of things are cooking with Soldier Field.
They really are, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Why haven't those guys called me?
Like, my God, that's my in.
That's your in.
Yeah.
That's your in. I wonder if he
thinks, it's a non-starter.
Do you think I'm going to now have a text relationship with Jason Alexander?
No, I do not.
I don't either.
Did you ask for his number?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't.
Did you ask Shane to ask for his number?
I didn't. He was, like, remarkably cool.
He was really cool.
He was
really cool. He seemed well-adjusted, which is not something you'd think you'd have to say about somebody, in their 60s or whatever, but I could see being effed in the head by show business in, you know, in all sorts of ways if you're
by being how many people in the 90s do you think were more famous than Jason Alexander? I mean, there's obviously plenty, but 50? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like he was one of the 50 most famous people in America.
In America,
Speaks, while you mull that over, what do you think? Show outing to see his play? Bunch of guys being dudes watching some theater? What do we think?
Dude, I'm in. I am in.
I'm in. Let's go.
Absolutely. I hear it's great.
Some serious theater. Let's all have a conversation about it over like a glass of brandy and a cigar, wearing turtlenecks and overstuffed chairs, pontificating.
Yeah.
That's the only way I talk theater.
Sure. I'll just drink and hang out and probably get a little high and go watch. It's a one-man show, right?
I don't know.
I think it's a one-man show.
I know very little about it.
It's called Judgment Day. I believe it's a one-man show.
Wow.
And I hear that the plan is for it to go. It's not a one-man show? It's not a one-man show.
No.
Okay, well. Whatever. I hear the plan is for it to go to Broadway when it goes well in Chicago. So not a one-man show. But it may as well be because it's Jason Alexander.
I agree.
So
because everybody's just
fine. Everybody's shaking their head at me saying it's not a one-man show. Okay. So.
Well, this has been.
Really stuck the dismount there.
This has been a crazy amount of chaotic and insane fun. By the way, Judgment Day Jason Alexander plays a morally bankrupt lawyer threatened with eternal damnation by a terrifying angel. He forms an unlikely bond with a Catholic priest in the midst of his own crisis of faith.
Oh, so there has to be at least one other character.
Somebody's got to play the priest.
Someone's got to play the priest.
Sure.
All right.
And I would assume a terrifying angel.
Right. That's a good point.
It. Yeah.
That's a good point.
All right. Glad we covered that.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad I didn't say, how's the one-man show going?
Thanks to the entire promotion staff for everything they've done today, especially handing me that flyer about Judgment Day.
Yeah, thank you to Rich Wyatt, our terrific engineer, who had to have like three different microphone setups for me because I had to go out there and MC the thing and then Jason Alexander and then this thing. So Rich Wyatt, you the real MVP. Kevin Lapka for having all this on video, which was amazing. Our guy Ryan Porth was out here. Shane Reardon, of course, doing a great job here. Thank you to Grant DePorter and everyone at Harry Carey's. Our guests today were who? We had Ron Kittle, we had Chris Kattan, we had Jason Alexander, we had Ryan Dempster and Richard Roper.
And James Denton.
And James Denton.
Really enjoyed him quite a bit.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Chris Tannehill doing amazing works, making us sound better than we are as always, getting a huge shout out from Jason Alexander for his open and his montage. So people should listen to that on the Odyssey app or the podcast page, wherever you check out the show after we're off the air. Mark Grody is coming up after us. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. Thank you for tuning in to the 26th annual Toast to Harry Carey, brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you.
Danny and Matt, thanks for that effort by them today.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.